The makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Now, like Alice in Wonderland, we step through the looking glass from a world that is commonplace and perhaps a trifle dull to the fantastic world where strange people do strange things. The strangest of these are presented to you twice each week by the makers of X-Lax, the original chocolate laxative. The laxative, by the way, which is overwhelmingly the world's favorite. The laxative that far outsells every other brand by a very generous margin. Why, in America alone, more than 46 million boxes of X-Lax were used last year. A truly amazing record, but the reasons for it are easy to understand. X-Lax is so mild and so gentle that you hardly know you have taken a laxative. And yet, for all its mildness, X-Lax is completely and thoroughly effective. And it's so delightful to take. It tastes just like the finest, most delicious chocolate. When you or any member of your family need a laxative, won't you try X-Lax and find out for yourself how agreeable, how pleasant it is, and how inexpensive, too. It is only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. The man who financed the revolution. The United States was born through the efforts of a handful of men and women who put love of country above every other desire. But did they always receive a just reward? It is 1781. In Philadelphia, Robert Morris, wealthy merchant and patriot, and one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, is talking with General George Washington.
You have already done so much for the army, Mr. Morris. It seems unfair to come to you again.
I would not want you to go to anyone else, General Washington. What is it you wish?
As superintendent of finance, you realize how we fought this war with pennies as against British pounds. Now the time has come when I can strike a decisive blow at Cornwallis and Yorktown.
You think it might be the beginning of the end?
It would be the end. Cornwallis is tired of fighting.
And you have no money for supplies. Is that what you've come to me about?
More than that. We do not even have money to transport the army from Dobbs Ferry down the river to Yorktown.
I will arrange it.
By heavens, Morris, I don't see where the money will come from. The government has no more credit.
You forget that I have credit. What I can't borrow from France, I'll borrow on my private fortune.
If you would do this, victory would be ours.
I will do it, General Washington. You can depend on me.
Robert Morris, someday your grateful country will give you a just reward.
Because of Morris' financial aid, the War of Independence comes to a victorious conclusion. Morris remains at the financial helm of the government during the trying years immediately following the war. At last, he is offered the secretaryship of the Treasury, but suggests Alexander Hamilton in his place. Morris retires to private life. Then one day, in 1798...
Come in.
Morris.
Oh, good evening, Hamilton.
I've heard the dreadful news.
Yes?
I can't understand it. I did not know you were in financial trouble.
Didn't you? It's been coming on for several months.
But bankruptcy, surely things aren't that bad.
I'm afraid they are, Alec.
But how did it happen?
Well, a few years ago, I began investing my money in Western land development. Unfortunately, things haven't worked out as I'd hoped, that's all.
But, Bob, something must be done. I don't want to see you thrown into debtor's prison.
I'm a bankrupt, Alec. Bankrupts go to prison. There won't be any exception in my case.
When do you go to the court?
Tomorrow morning. Well, Hamilton, life has sudden changes. That's one thing that keeps it from becoming monotonous.
Listen to me, Robert Morris. I'm going to use every bit of influence I possess to change the bankruptcy laws of this country. A man like you in debtor's prison. Because you loved your country too well to see her penniless. Why, it's an outrage. Oh, my friend, someday you will see justice done you.
But strange as it seems, Robert Morris, the man who financed the revolution of 1776, was thrown into debtor's prison for bankruptcy. It was not until 1802 that he was released after the severe bankruptcy laws of the United States had been modified. The world's most patriotic family. Mr. Utah Crossan of Cross Junction, Virginia, has a right to be proud. He has 11 children, and all of them are patriotic. In fact, Mr. Crossan has the distinction of being... Ah, but let Utah Crossan do the talking himself.
Hello, folks. It always has been kind of easy for me to be patriotic. You see, I got a right good start when my pa and ma named me Utah. Well, when I growed up enough to fall in love, I just naturally fell in love with a gal named Rhode Island Place. When me and her went to get our license, the clerk was so taken by the fact that Miss Rhode Island Place was going to up and get hitched to a fella named Utah Crossan that he done give us the license without asking a cent for it. He said he figured we was doing the country a favor by getting married. Well, we kind of got started calling the kids by names of states, and we just couldn't stop. First it was Vermont, then Georgia, then Montana. When one of our girls was born, my wife, she kind of hankered after naming her Rosemary, but I thought she'd most likely regret it, so I went ahead and named the baby Minnesota. Well, sir, after that, it just came natural. The rest of the kids are named Kansas, Oklahoma, Virginia, Maryland, Florida, and Tennessee. We're sort of a geographical family, ain't we, folks?
Strange as it seems, such a family lives in Cross Junction, Virginia. How would you like to be called Rhode Island or Kansas? The man born 5 centuries too soon. Some men are born great. Such was Leonardo da Vinci. He has come down to us as the painter of the immortal Last Supper and the famous Mona Lisa. And yet Leonardo was not content to be only a painter. He wished to know everything in the world. And in many cases, he came very close to complete knowledge. The list of his discoveries and near discoveries would fill a large manuscript. It is 1519, near the end of this great man's amazing life. He is living in France under the patronage of the brilliant French king, Francis I. Occasionally, Francis gallops to Leonardo's chateau for a short visit.
Leonardo. Oh, I wanted to see you.
Your Majesty.
Last night I dreamed that you had left me to return to Florence.
Ah, perhaps you felt my soul as it brushed past you on soft wings.
You're not happy here in France?
Yes, I am happy. But at heart, I think I shall always be Leonardo the Florentine.
Oh, I see that I'm disturbing you. You were busy writing.
No, I'm quite finished. I was glancing over these papers. Here I have placed all of my random thoughts, problems, hopes, and doubts.
Leonardo, tell me something.
What do you wish, sire?
Of all the things written in there, what has fascinated you the most? What things do you long most to solve, to know?
I think the thing I desire most is to fly.
To fly?
Your Majesty, see. Here is a design for a pair of wings.
But I don't understand that.
Everything will do its work, I know it. In fact, I have tried it once or twice. But there is one thing lacking. I cannot find a force with which to move those wings.
Men cannot fly.
Ah, but there you are wrong, sire. Someday man will fly when he has found the force to move those great wings. Ah, there are so many things just beyond my grasp. For instance, I have traced out all the skeleton of the body. I know where every bone should go. I even know more than that. I know that the blood is not stationary in the veins. I do not know just how it moves through the body, but it does move.
Oh, Leonardo, you're dreaming.
Up in the heavens there are countless worlds, just like ours, all with their moons, their suns. I have seen them vaguely with my large glass. And your Majesty.
Yes?
I know another secret. The world moves.
How can that be, Leonardo? The world cannot move.
Can you believe that long before men appeared on this planet, the seas covered the earth, The highest mountains had not yet risen from the waters.
Nom de Dieu.
I know that I speak the truth because I have seen seashells on top of the mountains.
Oh, Leonardo, you have made yourself ill with your studies.
Oh, you are... No. I am quite well. But only when I am designing bridges, canals, and engines am I content. Someday, Your Majesty, mankind will adopt my great cannons and use them. Power of steam pressure. Someday, man will use those swimming belts I have designed. He will learn to measure the winds as I have done, count the speed of ships as I have done, walk on the water as I know how to do. And someday, man will know how to fly.
Strange as it seems, but true, Leonardo da Vinci already knew of the solar system and telescope before Galileo, of anatomy before Francis Bacon, of the laws of gravity before Newton, of the circulation of the blood before Harvey, and of the power of steam before Watt. Had he known of some power like gasoline, over 400 years ago, he would have been able to fly. It's not on record that Leonardo da Vinci ever tasted chocolate. But while he still lived, chocolate was used for the first time by the Aztec tribe in Mexico. Now, of course, all the world and his wife know about chocolate for cakes, confections, and beverages. But one of the most welcome and agreeable of all its uses is in making a laxative pleasant to take. We refer to Ex-Lax, of course. Ex-Lax is a treat to take, not a hateful ordeal, because it tastes just like smooth, velvety, delicious chocolate. It is so mild and gentle that you hardly know you have taken a laxative. And yet, for all its mildness, Ex-Lax is completely and thoroughly effective. It just must be a better laxative, because more people use it than any other brand in the whole wide world. If you haven't tried Ex-Lax, then get a box the next time you need a laxative. Once you have tried it, no other laxative will ever do for you again. It is only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. Once there was a simple latchkey which performed a miracle. It was lying in a desk drawer, forgotten by its owner. And suddenly, it unlocked the door to knowledge which had been hidden for thousands of years. Listen to the next broadcast. You will also meet an amazing man who has done wonderful things for mankind. Yet, in his youth, he was traded for a broken-down racehorse. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. It costs no more to send a battleship through the Panama Canal than a rowboat.